Sri Lanka. The studio with us today is Mufti Ilyas from Benoni and Qari Barakatullah. It has been tradition with Radio Islam the first Sunday of Ramadan to focus on questions from listeners concerning the month of Ramadan and all aspects. Jazakumullah for coming into Radio Islam, Mufti.
Jazakallah, I appreciate. Once again, Alhamdulillah, we are here to try to help the community and address current problems concerning Ramadan.
Mufti Sahib, this week has been quite a hectic week in terms of callers. We've had numbers of callers calling in, and they focused on basically three issues. They're wanting to know about medication in Islam, and lots of women called in with problems as far as being mothers, what were they allowed to do while they were expecting. And the third thing had to do with one was medication, one was breastfeeding, and the other was general questions about the month of Ramadan. And one of the instances I can just give you is whether it was permissible or not to use hygiene or put anything in the eyes, and those are the type of questions that have come in. So I thought it's appropriate before we start and take on any callers, perhaps you'd like to just give us some guidelines for the month of Ramadan.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Broadly speaking, first of all, concerning the month of Ramadan, that we should regard this as a boon and favor and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unto us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing us once again, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing us and giving us an opportunity once again to reform, to change, and to better our lives, our spiritual lives, and to make firm resolutions in this month so that we become better Muslims. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated the purpose and the purport of fasting in the verse, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam, that O Muslims, the fasting has been made obligatory upon you, kama kutiba alallazina min qablikum, just as fasting has been made mandatory, obligatory upon those before you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outlines the purpose of fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that perhaps you may become righteous and you may become pious. So in this month, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a formula of how to attain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to become pious, how to become righteous, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in principle, the fasting means to abstain from food, from taking of drink, and from relationship from a set period, from Subah Sadiq right up to sunset. Now during that time, a person, when he is starved and when he is not eating or drinking and has his passions and desires under control, then he is able to now govern his life. He is able now to discipline his life. The person has got control over his faculties, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him. A person who overeats, or a person who is all the time full, his stomach is full, and a person who is drinking, meaning he is drinking permissible things, and he is also satisfying all his legal passions, then that person generally will not be able to reform as quick as that person who has got these restrictions. The method of fasting, which Allah has stipulated for us, that we abstain from eating and abstain from drinking, etc. Now this allows a person to bring his inner qualities out and reform himself and change himself and become a better person. Because once he has got these restrictions, then his brain is able now to focus onto Allah, his heart is able to remember Allah, and his body will go towards the good actions. Because it comes clearly also in the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the rebellious shayateen and jinnat are chained up and locked up during this month. Meaning that the person now is able to be free from the influences of the evil and batil and wrong shayateen and jinnat. So this person here, Alhamdulillah, he can change and become a better person and obtain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill the purpose of fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that he must become righteous and become pious, gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why generally, with the help of Allah, that our masajid, they are full during the month of Ramadan, especially during Taraweeh time and all the other salats, that our masajid, they become full and people generally frequent them. About Taraweeh, etc., as the program goes on, I will discuss those issues. But as Brother Ismail has raised a few questions concerning medication, first of all, there will be a program held by the doctors also concerning medication. However, in principle, you must know that the doctors will advise you about medication but will not be able to give you a fatwa, a ruling concerning the medication, what happens if you do take them, or what happens during those situations. And the common question, as stated, that every year we get this: can I use eye drops, can I use ear drops, can I use nose drops, am I able to take an injection when I am fasting? Then let us just take these questions one by one. First of all, the ear drops. According to the fatwa, that a person using the ear drops, his fast will break. And as far as when his fast breaks using the ear drops, we have got two things. A person will either have to make qaza. Qaza means that if the fast broke, then you will have to make one qaza. That means you broke one fast, you make one qaza, one fast, to redeem the one that you broke unintentionally. And as far as kafara is concerned, that is when you intentionally, willfully, purposefully, you broke the fast, and now you will have to make 60 fasts all in sequence. However, when a person utilizes eardrops and out of necessity and need, etc., then the fast will break and he'll have to make only the qaza. As far as eye drops, understand that the rule is, if a person utilizes surma, and whilst utilizing the surma, and even if he has to taste the surma in the back of the throat, the fast does not break. So when a person uses eye drops, then the fast would not break. Nose drops, we have been informed that the fast will break. Obviously, the nose drops will go down the throat and break the fast. Now, the injection, a person is allowed to take an injection while fasting. The question arises, why and how come? The rule we should try to understand as far as fasting is concerned, and that which breaks the fast, is anything directly reaching the brain or anything directly reaching the stomach will break the fast. Now, the nose drops going down the throat is going directly, and the eye drops, we are informed, does not reach, and the injection, it is not going directly into the stomach. So as a result, it is going in the circular system or the blood system or whatever it is. The doctors explain that better. I am not a medical practitioner. However, it is not going into the stomach directly. As a result, the fast does not break. And the next question about whether the female can breastfeed her child and whether that will break the fast. Remember that a person, whilst fasting, and he cries and he sheds tears. Now, when the person, while fasting, shedding tears, the shedding of tears whilst fasting does not break the fast. Now, similarly, if a person, while shedding tears, his fast will not break, and also his wuzu will not break. Why? Because the tear is classified as pure. Similarly, the person, while fasting, and he continuously removes saliva, and he spits. And this also generally happens that when little children, they want to show the adults that they are fasting, then they keep their mouths absolutely dry and parched, and they keep spitting around.
so that people around them know, oh, this small youngster is now fasting, and they feel very happy about this. So the saliva coming out does not break the fast, neither does it break the wuzu. And whilst if a person is fasting, he or she goes to toilet, then passing urine will not break the fast, but will break the wuzu. Passing stool will not break the fast, but will break the wuzu. So sometimes while the person is fasting, he goes to a medical practitioner. The medical practitioner says that we have to take some blood from you. So the person goes for a blood test. What happened there? They took out some blood from him for testing. So they remove the blood for testing. This will break the wuzu, but will not break the fast. Similarly, now we understand that when the lady, she is breastfeeding, and she is providing, with the help of Allah, milk to the baby, then the fast will not break. The fast will not break. As far as generally speaking, another question that crops up during Ramadan is taking of insulin injections. As I explained to you, the taking of the injection is permissible, and the person who is allowed to take the insulin injection. As far as another question that repeatedly comes about every year in and year out, is concerning asthmatic pumps. Asthmatic pumps, we have been informed that we did a little bit of research, we wrote to the pharmaceutical institutes to explain to us, and in brief they gave us an explanation stating that there are two types of asthmatic pumps. One they classify as wet, and one they classify as dry. Now the dry, they say, is a rotor system pump, and they give a lot of details about it. So the wet one is very simple, that definitely breaks the fast. And the dry one, we are informed that it is dry as far as the function is concerned, but as soon as it reaches the back of the throat, then it turns into molecules and moisture and drips down the throat. So when we understand that, then that also breaks the fast. So usage of asthmatic pumps will break the fast. However, understand this, that we are informed that a asthmatic patient, when he has a severe attack, can take a injection, intravenous injection. If he takes that injection, the fast will not break. However, let us say that a person who is asthmatic, and that person decides to fast. Whilst fasting, then he gets an attack, he or she gets an attack which is severe. And severity of attack, the asthmatic patient alone knows that. We do not know that. So the person must make a fatwa from his heart, that must I take this pump or not? Can I hold on or not? Remember that Islam values life. So if that person feels that my life is at stake, and he in his heart, she in her heart feels that if I do not take that pump, then my life is at stake. So they take that pump, utilize that pump. Now, because they use that pump, the fast will break, but that person will only have to make qaza. That person will only have to make qaza, not kafara. And there is another question that repeatedly comes about, and people generally misconstrue it, misunderstand it, misinterpret it, and do not put the writing clauses to our answer. These general questions I'm answering so that when you phone in, then you do not ask these repeated questions which we hear year in and year out. And the famous one is about the toothpaste. And everybody wants to use toothpaste. Unfortunately, maybe he don't use toothpaste for 11 years, but Ramadan time you want to use toothpaste. First of all, that a person should in Ramadan get used to using miswak and try to use the miswak throughout the entire year. But as far as the toothpaste is concerned, first of all, understand it is makruh. It is not like to use, you must not use the toothpaste. Secondly, understand that although it is permissible to use the toothpaste, but if a minute quantity goes down the throat, then the fast is broken. Now, when we explaining the law of toothpaste, so the person will say, yes, the Mufti said you can use toothpaste. But no one says that the second part of the story. No one is interested in the rider, and no one is mentioning what we say after that, that listen, if something goes down the throat, your fast is broken, your fast is invalidated, and your fast is gone.
Jazakumullah, I think Mufti has given us a number of broad guidelines. I just want to take up a couple of those things, please. The one is about the eye drops and the nose drops. Because there is a possibility of it going down into the throat, is that correct? That is why it is not, it would nullify your fast.
Yes, definitely.
Right. As far as the eye drops is concerned, there was no difficulty with that, and you gave the example of the surma, so we have no difficulty with that. As far as injections were concerned, you gave us very broad guidelines, and you said that as long as it goes into the stomach, is that correct? If it does not go into the stomach, then those injections will be permissible. What was very interesting was today with the aspect of the asthmatic pumps, whether it is wet or dry. In the end, the dry one also, forms some molecules which then drips at the back of the throat, and that would then nullify the fast. We'd have to then, repay that fast by kaza fast and not kafara. That's correct. Then I think you explained very, aptly the toothpaste. And for me, it clarifies a lot of these things, because I know we've had lots of people saying that, can we use a toothpaste? And you can't. And we've heard Mufti said, but I think what you've done is said to us, you can, on condition it can't. So I think that's a very slim chance of it not really going down the throat. So I think, like you said, not use it at all. Before we take on any of the other callers, I'd like you just to quickly, Subah Sadiq. Just quickly tell us, what is Subah Sadiq? And we have lots of people waiting until the very last minute before the azan goes off, and then still wanting to drink a little bit of water. Can you just explain that to us?
Before I explain to you Subah Sadiq, let me just explain to you something about, generally also people phone, Ismail, about, can I remove my tooth during fasting? And then we have to say, okay, you are allowed. But will it break my fast? Now that depends on the dentist. Now if the dentist is good, then maybe with the modern equipment, he may be able to salvage your fast. And the dentist has to be Allah-fearing and a devoted person and sincere person, that whilst extracting your tooth, then he must sincerely say, listen, some water went down and your fast has now been nullified. However, I think with the modern technology around, that maybe they can't salvage that fast. So the safe course of action as far as the toothache will be that go and take an injection and relieve the pain. So that injection will be permissible, it will not invalidate the fast. Then inshallah you talk to the dentist and tell him, listen, can you remove it after hours, meaning after iftari. So if he does it after iftari, alhamdulillah, you got your fast intact, and also you can eat also. As far as Subah Sadiq is concerned, that is the time when fast will now commence and now start. And this Subah Sadiq has got many laws attached to it. Let me just explain to you what happens and what is happening on our calendars at the moment. Sehri ends, Tahajjud ends, Subah Sadiq starts, Fajr starts. So we've got two things ending there and two things starting there. That at the time of Subah Sadiq, pre-dawn, what we translate it, that's why we translate Sehri as pre-tiffin or pre-dawn meal, which is mustahab, and a person should have Sehri. So the Subah Sadiq sets in, Sehri ends, Tahajjud ends, and also the Fajr starts, the fast starts. Now on our calendars sometimes we see 3:38, and we must find out whether this is the last time or whether there is 5 minutes still a leeway. Now generally some calendars have got a 5 minute gap. They will say 3:33. So 3:33, you still got 5 minutes. That means 3:38 is the cutoff, meaning the absolute cutoff. That's the deadline. And 3:33 you should stop. Caution. So 3:38 will be your cutoff, and try to find out your calendar and read your calendar properly whether that time stipulated there is the last time or have you still got some time. And then you can terminate your eating, etc.
I think that one you can liken to the robot. You know, when you come and you still see the orange or the amber glowing, you can still go a little bit more, but once it comes to the red, you've got to stop dead. So if it's 3:38, that's what you are saying, it's cut off time and you cannot eat after that. But you've got to now go back to your calendar and verify whether it's giving you the exact time of Super Sadiq or it is giving you that cautionary time.
I've noticed, alhamdulillah, this year that many masajis, that about 5 minutes after the cut off time, they give the Fajr Azad. And after another 5 minutes, we have Fajr Jamaat. So as a result, alhamdulillah, many masajis are now getting full during the Fajr Salat, which is encouraging. Now, technically speaking, Ismail, if you got cut off time 3:38, that means a person stops eating 3:38, and this will apply to the ladies. Then 3:39, they can perform their sunnahs of the Fajr, and 3:41, I must say, because 1 minute you can't make two rakats. Only South Africans do this. We generally do this. In 1 minute we make two rakats, and 2 minutes we make four rakats. And that is why when the Imam in Tarawih, he takes a little bit longer, then you want to know what he's doing, why he's reading so slowly. And unfortunately, Tarawih time too, now we look around which masjid they read very fast. So I go to that masjid where they read fast, irrespective whether in that masjid, whether the Qari Sahib is reading with Tajweed or not, as long as he's pushing it, he's going fast, I'm very happy. So back to where we started, that 3:41, 3:42, she can make her Fajr Salat and then read Quran, etc., and retire to bed. But the men folks should try and make a concerted effort to go to the masajid for their Fajr Salat.
JazakAllah, the lines are now open. It's 8546854. If you have any questions concerning Ramadan, Mufti is here to answer your questions. The number to dial again is 8546854. Mufti, you were talking about Tarawih. I think now's the time. Let's take on the issue of Tarawih. Can you just give us some... I got a call again this week who wanted to know, for ladies, Tarawih, what is its permissibility? Is it Sunnat, Sunnat al-Ghair Muqadda? What? And can you just please explain its status in Islam?
First of all, as far as Tarawih is concerned, then one question that crops up, and unfortunately people are now trying to move away from the mutawatir, the continuous action which came down from the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right up to now, that Tarawih, remember, it is Sunnat and Mu'afidah, 20 rakats. You want to take a call, sir?
Jay, I've got a call. It's sister on 9. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Suleiman? Hello? I think we'll get Kiram Mufisap. I'm not sure that line call comes through.
As far as Tarawih is concerned, remember that the word Tarawih comes from the word Tarwiha.
I think we can. Can we go on? Hello? Hello, assalamu alaikum. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Can you hear us? Hello, assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me? I think we've lost that call.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that. I think we've lost that call.
So we got Tarawih coming from the word Tarwiha. And Tarwiha means the resting period after four rakats. After four rakats, the resting period we call Tarwiha. So in that resting period, it has been stated that you can read Quran, you can read Durood Sharif, you can read a dua, and if you are in the Haram, you can make a tawaf, and even you can make another quick Nafil Salat if you want. So basically, it's for you to pause, it's for you to relax, is to regain some strength, etc., for the next four rakats. Now in the Arabic language, we have got singular, dual, and plural. So Tarwiha means to relax and to pause, to rest after four rakats. And Tarwihatain means to rest after eight rakats. And Tarawih means to rest after 12 rakats. So this word Tarawih in itself is proving that Tarawih has to be 12. So So if a person goes and say, I'm making Taraweeh, and he walks away after 8 rakats, he never makes Taraweeh. He makes Taraweeh Hattain and came away. So, first of all, know that Taraweeh has got many sunnahs. First of all, it is sunnah and muakkidah for both male and female. It is sunnah and muakkidah for both male and female. And obviously, the males must make it at home, in the masjid, and the females at home. So, we have got the males going to the masjid following the imam.
I think we've got a call online. Sorry to interrupt, Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum, Suleiman.
Assalamu
alaikum. Can you speak up louder, please? I can't hear you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah.
I'm actually calling to find out if I'm going on Friday to hospital and I've got to do, they want to do a local anesthetic to remove 2 grains on my face.
Right.
Now, what I'd like to know is permissible for me still to keep my rosa or.
They're going to do local anesthetic.
Yeah.
Local anesthetic, we alhamdulillah have got Dr. Saab here. The local anesthetic, Dr. Saab, what will it entail?
For dentistry purposes. Brother? Suleiman?
No, it's to remove 2 glands on the face.
To remove a gland from the face?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, local anesthetic should have no ill effects because, as Mufti Saab laid out the basic principle, there's no doesn't reach the brain directly, nor does it reach the stomach directly. It is like any other injection given.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. So that means, Suleiman, you if you go in a state of fasting, then what you call, if they perform that operation, then Allah Subhanahu wa Taala grant you total relief. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good health and your fast would not break. However, you should make mashwara with your doctor that is it going to be detrimental to you, is it going to harm you, and then make mashwara from the fatwa side of it. If you can bear it and you can forbear it, then your fast will not break.
Okay, jazakallah. Wa
alaikum salam. Continuing with Taraweeh Salah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made many aspects of Taraweeh Salat Sunnah and Mu'akkidah for us, meaning that to listen to the Quran Kareem completely, to listen to it is Sunnah and Mu'akkidah. To Sunnah in 20 rakat of Taraweeh Salat in itself is Sunnah and Mu'akkidah. And also to go for Salat with Jamaat is also Sunnat e Muakkidah. So there are various Sunnat e Muakkidah attached to the Taraweeh Salat. As far as the women folk are concerned, that there is some leeway in which way that whilst they are making their Taraweeh Salat, it is written clearly in the Fatwa Kitabs that they can either make 2 rakats and then make Salam, or make 4 rakats and then make Salam, or 6 rakats and then make Salam, and even it is written that they can make 8 rakats and then make a Salam. However, in the masajid, after 2 rakats we make Salam, then after 4 rakats we make another Salam and rest for a little while. So that is as far as Taraweeh is concerned.
Inshallah, Mustafa, I think we can just go quickly for an ad break. It is 20 to 12. And when we come back, I've got lots of questions that are coming in quick and fast, Mufti, and they've been written down. So when you come back, can we take all those questions and we can continue with your explanation? Jazakumullah. The time now is 40 to 12. Welcome back to Radio Islam Meeting. We're 1548. Alhamdulillah, in the studio with me, I've got a fantastic panel. We've got Mufti Ilyas with me, Dr. Maulana Ismail Valley, and Qari Barakatullah. And we are taking questions on fasting, and I've got a sister online. Assalamu alaikum.
Can
you speak a bit louder, please?
There's a question for Mufti Sahib.
Right.
Concerning iftitah.
Right.
And his. And how do you say that's the bazaar of the day when you get to his life sitting in iftitah?
Did you hear the question, Mufti?
That means you want to sit for iftitah.
Sunnah iftitah, yes.
Sunnah iftitah.
Yes.
And then you want to sit and whilst you performing the iftitah, then you get haze.
Do you say he's sitting in the last maybe even 1 day or 2 days?
Yes. As soon as that happens, remember that because of the haze, your what you call
wuzu broke, ghusl broke, fasting broke, everything has become invalidated. Now, as far as the qaza of that is concerned, then what you should do, till the time you made the etikaf, that etikaf is permissible, is valid, and for the remaining portions, there is no qaza for the remaining portions.
So this mostly is saying that if you make sunnah itikaf, say by the 9th day, we get our
haid,
right? Itikaf is broken.
Yes.
But do you not sit qaza for that day after Ramadan?
That means the 2 days that are left, Mr. Sazan, may come in and say there's 1 or 2 days, so it comes on the 8th, right? So that 9th and 10th, do that make qaza of that, or after the 8th, and if the haid appears there after, is that, does that then come terminate the itikaf?
If a woman has commenced itikaf, and thereafter menstruation commences during the etikaf, then it is wajib upon her to immediately abandon the etikaf as soon as her menstruation commences. In such a situation, it is wajib upon her to make qaza etikaf of only the day in which she abandoned the etikaf as a result of the intervention of menstruation. So the procedure of such qaza is as follows. After the woman becomes pure of such menstruation, she keeps fast on any day and performs etika. If the days remain in Ramzan, then she may make qaza in Ramzan, in which case the fast of Ramzan will be sufficient. However, if Ramzan has terminated at the time of her becoming pure from such menstruation, then she must therefore specifically keep fast qaza etika for 1 day. I hope you understood that.
So, if I may come in, I hope the sister is still listening. So, we have the one on the day that you've broken your fast, that particular day has to be covered up. Is that the only
that
one?
That is the only thing.
Not the following day. So, if there were 3-4 days left,
yes.
She only has to cover up for the one particular
for
day.
For that one particular day.
I'm sorry, has that issue been clarified for you?
Yeah, but the qaza for that 1 day.
Right.
How would we put it after Ramadan or the day that becomes fast again?
After Ramadan. Now, for example, if you, as explained here, that if there are days remaining in Ramzan, then she may make qaza in Ramzan, in which case the fast of Ramzan will be sufficient. However, if Ramzan has terminated at the time of her becoming pure from such menstruation, then she must thereafter specifically keep qaza etikaf for 1 day.
If I may come in then, Mufti Sahib, there's two issues. One is the fast and one is the sitting of the etikaf. So if it is in the month of Ramadan, you don't have to keep the fast.
Yes.
Because it's fast, but then you still sit for that etikaf,
yes,
on that day. If it is out of the month of Ramadan, you still keep the fast and you go to sit on that day.
Yes.
So those are two different issues. So what we're talking about, I hope you're still listening in, that if it is in the month of Ramadan, you don't keep the fast, you just sit for the etikaf. Coming out of the month thereafter, you've got to sit both for the etikaf and keep the fast. If I understand what you are saying,
yes,
is that correct?
Exactly.
Jazakumullah. I hope they clarified that issue for you. Is that clear? Jazakumullah. Well, sir, I've got a number of questions coming in. I've got a question here. It says a 65-year-old has been fasting all her life. She now has diabetes and asthma. Finds it difficult to fast and feels dizzy by midday and cannot carry on. What is her position now? We have a 65-year-old lady fasting all her life, now has both diabetes and asthma, finds it difficult to fast because she feels dizzy by midday and cannot carry on. What is her position now?
Now, that person, first of all, should try to fast. And because of old age, illness, and weakness, and feebleness, then that very old person who does not have the strength to fast, or very sickly, or now is unable totally to fast, should give out fidya. The fidya for a fast is similar to the farz and wajib namazes list. That means to give out 3.5 pounds or 1.6 kilograms of wheat, or 7 pounds or 3.2 kilograms of barley, the equivalent to the above in cash or kind. So that amount should be given per fast away to the poor, those poor which are similar to those who are receiving zakat.
Mr. Rami, come in. So would that be the amount that we are doing for Fitr this year, which is 850 stipulated by the
Yes, 850.
So for every fast missed, then she would have to do that. So in her condition, if she cannot continue with her fast, if it does make it difficult, then she would then be free of every missed fast. Is that correct?
Yes, Alhamdulillah.
And it is 850 according to the Jamia's calculation for Sadaqatul Fitr for the year 2000. Rahmul, I've got another question here. Your sister has a post-nasal drip. What happens if by chance she swallows the mucus?
Very difficult to do that.
The problem arises that there is a lot of mucus build up in the sinuses and in the nasal passages. And some patients do suffer from a chronic nasal drip. So I think, I'm sure you'll agree with Sub. I don't think that breaks the fast because that is a chronic problem and the mucus is part of the body fluids. And Mufti Sub can just elaborate.
As correctly stated, that mucus which is part of the post-nasal drip will not break the fast.
Jazakumullah, we've got a brother online. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, you're on air. You'd like to pose your question?
Yeah, go ahead. Mufti Sahab, one question. Mufti Sahab, Imam Sahab in the second rakat, while he was reading Alhamdu, he had a problem, and he was like feeling noisy and he wanted to warm up, you see.
Yes.
And he delayed for a little while, and then after a while, he came a little to the right. So what is in the condition? I mean, he delayed a little for a while, and then he continued. Is that namaz accepted?
The salat is valid.
Abhikman?
The salat is valid.
Salat?
The salat is valid.
Salat is valid?
Yes.
And I want to know another thing is, assuming he couldn't continue, right?
Yes.
And there isn't anybody at the back that was well, worse enough to eat her. What should he do in that
position? In that case, the Imam Sahib, as you say, that he could not continue due to some reason. For example, let us just say that he lost his wuzu, and you say that there is no one behind him, and you are obviously under the impression that someone behind him must continue exactly on that spot where he stopped. However, that is not the case. The person behind the Imam obviously will pull him in front and he will leave to go and make his wuzu, etc. And the next person, he can come there and continue and complete the salat in his own simple manner. The salat, that two rakats will also become valid. So it does not mean that he is now in the halfway of Surah Baqarah and there is no one who can continue where he stopped. So it does not mean the person who comes in there must now continue from exactly the same spot where that Imam left. That person who replaces the Imam will come there and read simple surahs that he knows and complete the namaz, how a surah ka salat is generally completed, and then the, inshallah the Imam should recover by that.
Jazakumullah, I may then come in. Your question, carry on.
Assuming the person at the back are not learned, but I'm not talking about the continue of reading of any surah that I'm assuming that the fact they are not learned person, but then he had to break his
father. Yes, as I say, my brother, that not learned, I also am answering on that line. So let's say not learned, at least he'll know surah Qul Huwa Allah, he'll know the last surahs. So that person, what he'll do, he will just come and continue whatever simple surahs he knows, easy ones, inshallah he will read that.
Another thing is that isn't it there should be a learned person always standing next to a muazzin or is a mutawalli?
The rule should be that behind the Imam there should be learned people. Why? In case the Imam makes an error, the learned, pious, righteous person can correct him. That what you are saying is very valid, and we should also worry about it in our masajid, that the learned people should try to be behind the Imam. I accept that.
Jazakumullah.
No. Sorry, one more question.
Yeah.
Mudizab, sometimes the Imam goes away, right? And he doesn't leave no permission at all.
Right.
And then, the Mutawalli comes up to us and then, lead the prayer. So, who's in duty to lead the prayer? The Mutawalli or is another person?
The
Imam doesn't leave no permission to anybody.
When he leaves no permission, then that Imam, first of all, whether what understanding he's got with his congregation, I do not know. Generally, the imam should appoint his deputy and then go away. However, if he left no one, then the most learned person should go forward. The most learned person should go forward. Generally, unfortunately, a lot of times we find that the Mutawalli, alhamdulillah, is a good administrator, but maybe he cannot make the salat and he's not learned enough to make the salat.
Jazakumullah, I think we've got another sister online, I'm sorry. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam, you're on air.
Yeah,
Can you speak up a little louder?
When washing the nostrils in the room,
yes.
Water passes the fleshy part. Then does it notify the
While you are washing the nose and you are inserting water in the nostrils, then it touches the fleshy part, that will not break the wuzu. Or it will not break the fast, at least. Yes, if you take the water in through your nostrils and take it like how you would send it through the how you use the nose drops, then you put the water into via your nostril passages down your throat, then you are going to break the fast. Yes, that will not invalidate the fast.
Jazakumullah, we've read the sister about 65 year old. We asked Mr. Sabin, she's now written to say that who has to give fidya? She is destitute and cannot afford the fidya. What is the rule now?
If she is destitute and not able to give the fidya, then we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our sins. And we should make dua, Ya Allah, I know that in the position to keep the fast due to the valid reason of feebleness and weakness and age, everything, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafoor Rahim, He will forgive.
Jazakumullah, we have a brother in line. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
When you're trying to pull out wires, you know what I mean? Say, when I say wires, maybe you're getting ejaculation or something. Does your wuzu or does your rosa break?
Jazakumullah for that question. I'll ask Mufti Sahib. I think we're talking about masturbation here, Mufti Sahib. Is that permissible while in the state of wuzu? While in the state of fasting?
Yeah, definitely the fast is going to break, and let alone break, the person is going to have to keep a qaza. And what you call, it is a rather unhealthy, un-Islamic action to a person is performing here, and he should not be performing such a action. So the person should definitely abstain from such a action.
Mufti, we want to now go ahead and continue. Sorry, there was that brother who asked the Jazakumullah. I've got a question here from a lady who wants to know, can she go out to her courtyard if she's in Etikaf and her husband and son are out in Jamaat?
No, then she cannot go out in the courtyard because that will break her Etikaf. She must remain within the confines stipulated for her Etikaf. However, if she whilst making her niyat for etikaf, then if she stated, I am going to go to the courtyard, then she will, be allowed to go to that courtyard. However, before she went into etikaf and did not make that niyat, then if she goes out there, her etikaf will break.
And then the next question is, what are the rules regarding young boys leading Tarawih Salah? Now, I'm not very sure what he meant by young boys, but I'm sure these would be boys who are baligh and very young ones but leading the Tarawih Salah.
As far as young boys are concerned, first of all, that youth, they should be encouraged to make
the Taraweeh, provided they conform to the Sharia. And first of all, if the young boy, if he is baligh, then he is allowed to make the Taraweeh. The young boy, if he is not baligh, then he is not allowed to make the Taraweeh Salat. The young boy who is baligh, he must conform to the Sharia throughout the entire month of Ramadan. No use what is happening these days, that the young person, he decides whole year he's shaving his beard and he's trimming his beard and unfortunately going to the wrong places. Come Ramadan, then this person here, he becomes pious, he says, no, I'm keeping a beard now and I'm now going to perform Salat Taraweeh. This sort of Hafiz must not be encouraged, must not be allowed to make the Taraweeh Salat, he must not be allowed to stand on the Musalla of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that person who is loafing around, behaving un-Islamically, going to wrong activities, going to the wrong parties, and behaving unbecomingly, unfortunately, because some of these youngsters are the children and the sons of the trustees and the mutawallis, then the mutawallis and trustees put pressure onto the imam and say that my son is baligh now, he's hafiz, he must be able to read the salat. And the poor imam, because he's on wages, he just has to toe the line and unfortunately allow this fasik fajir, this evil doer, and this person here who is destroying the Sharia throughout the year to become an imam. This is totally wrong. And the person, if he finds in a masjid where this baligh youngster who's shaving, trimming his beard throughout the year, making Salat at Taraweeh, he is allowed to go to some other masjid.
Jazakumullah, I think we'll take one more question before we go for an ad break. And this one is concerning a sister who has a 7-month-old baby and is breastfeeding. She says she has an ulcer and a hernia, has been advised by a doctor not to fast. Should she pay fidya or kafara? And what is the difference? I'll repeat the question again. She has a 7-month-old baby and is breastfeeding. She has an ulcer and a hernia and has been advised by a doctor not to fast. Should she pay fidya or kafara? And what is the difference?
This lady should not do anything of that at the moment. If a pious, righteous doctor has told her not to fast, then she must forego her fast due to illness and ailment and sickness. And she should wait after Ramadan. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give her good health, she will become fit and she'll recover. Then she must make the qaza of every fast that she has missed. And she must wait for good health. The giving of fidya is a last resort, not the first option.
Mufti Sahib, the difference quickly to just clarify, what is the difference between a fidya or kafara?
Fidya is that which we explained, which is 850 in the year 2000, as stipulated by the Jamiat, for a missed fast by a person who has got no hope of ever recovering and making that fast. That person will pay the fidya. However, the kafara means a person intentionally, willfully destroyed and broke his fast, then he'll have to make, besides the qaza, make the kafara, the 60 days fast.
Jazakumullah. We're going to go for a quick ad break. It is 12:05, and we've got lots of callers still coming. And the number to dial, if you'd like to speak to us directly, is 854-6854.
Attention ladies, we at Pay and Save, your friendly fabric store, invite you to our Ramadan sale. Listen to these great specials. Moss crepe, 15 rand per meter. Summer mix and match, 14.99 per meter. Assorted prints, now 9.99 per meter. And many, many more in-store specials. We have just unpacked our latest range of imported fabrics of plains and florals in the latest fashion shades for a stunning look this Eid. Exclusive and exquisite bridal and evening wear now available for that special occasion. For gents, we have a new range of kurta fabrics. Remember, we are open every Sunday during the month of Ramadan from 10 a.m. For style, elegance and friendly service, come to Pay and Save, your partner in fashion. Come on ladies, make that fashion statement this Eid for Pay and Save.
Ya Jumbo Cash and Carry, the true giant of Africa, your one-stop shop with the largest range of cosmetics, toiletries, hardware, groceries, jewelry, cellular phones, and accessories. Visit any one of our branches in Crown Mines, Devlin, Isipingo, Durban, Petersburg, and Bloemfontein for unbelievable floor prices. Don't forget our promise. We won't meet, but we will stampede on any advertised price on cosmetics and toiletries. Call us on 839-440.
Everybody is talking about it. Hotel chef, caterers, husbands, wives, kids and grannies.
Amla, the best tasting Sanha approved halal soups and sauces. 6 wonderful flavors of Amla soups available. Recipes like Khawse soup and other ideas included.
Be creative and use Amla pepper steak sauce, garlic mushroom sauce, chili cheese and white sauce.
Amla soups and sauces, guaranteed to turn a cook into a chef. Amla soups and sauces, stocked at all good spice shops and supermarkets and butcheries. Distributors, agents and exporters wanted. Contact Fatima on 016-590-1435.
In its quest for eliminating begging, Darul Yatam Awam Masakin of Durban, in association with sister organizations, implements development programs towards creating independence, inshallah. For further details, call 031-209-8720.
Radio Islam, meeting way 1548. It is 7 minutes past 12 and we have a sister online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are on air.
Hello.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Molana, I got a question. My uncle had a bleeding ulcer and he had an operation done. And in the process, he had a blood transfusion.
Right.
And according to him, he was given 3 or 4 different people's blood. Mm. And because the blood hasn't circulated with his blood, he say he's not allowed to fast and neither read his namaz.
Oh, I don't really know that one. Let me ask Molana, Dr. Ismail Valley, perhaps to come in with that one. Molana, have you understood the question? She says
if she can just clarify, what did you say that the husband had different blood? That blood was not compatible with your husband's blood. Am I right?
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry, was it your it was your grandfather?
No, uncle.
Your uncle. So he was given 3 or 4 different types of blood, and it's not compatible. That means it did not
match your husband's blood.
The uncle.
Sorry. Oh, your uncle. Sorry.
G. Hello.
G.
Who is waiting? Mufti sahab is once.
Yeah, sorry. Is there any clarification on your question again?
He was given like three or four different people, but he has the same blood. Now, according to him, he says he's not allowed to read his namaz or keep roza.
Yeah, what happens here is, I think the basic Islamic rule prevails, as Muftisab earlier mentioned, is if he sees a doctor, and the doctor who is a pious and a specialist in his field will make the final decision whether he can fast or not. And I think Muftisab can just take it further if he wants to. But basically, if he feels comfortable to fast, he should fast. And if the doctor who is caring for him feels that he had incompatible blood and that can be detrimental to his health, and then the doctor feels he should not fast, that he's a specialist, and then he may not fast.
I think what's happening here, can you hear me?
Hello, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Mufti Sahib is trying to answer the question there.
I think what's the confusion here, that the person unfortunately is under the wrong impression. That because he got someone else's blood, now he feels that the blood belongs to someone else, and he got his own body, and he feels that he's not going to make fasting or keep or perform salat. This is completely erroneous, and this is false belief, and this is a wrong notion that the uncle of yours has got. And he has got someone else's blood in his body, and this still does not alleviate him or exonerate him from fasting or salat. The uncle must face life and look forward to better life and fast and also keep and make the salat. Because he got someone else's blood doesn't mean now he does not have to fast, does not mean that he does not have to perform salat.
Excuse me, what does your uncle say? For what reason is he not fasting? Is it because of illness or because of the fact that he's got other blood?
Hello, can you hear? Hello, can you hear us? We want to know, Dr. Sap is asking, is why is your uncle not wanting to fast or wanting to perform his salah? Does he feel that he's got somebody else's blood or is he not feeling well? He's got somebody else's. So Mufti Sap has clarified the issue that he's got to face up to reality, he's got to face up to life, and that inshallah we should take up this, inshallah, continue with his life. And I think that is what Muqtisab is saying. He's going to continue a normal life, and inshallah, he will be able to overcome all these obstacles. Am I right, Muqtisab?
Yes.
That is. We have another question here. A brother, 65 years old and a diabetic, has 3 insulin injections daily. Will his fast break when he takes the injection? I think you've clarified this early on, but I think you can just explain it once more.
Yes, person is taking insulin injection. It is valid for him to fast, and he should fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him sabr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him good health.
Jazakumullah. The next one is, sister, what is the rule regarding applying hair oil while fasting?
It is permissible to apply hair oil. Hair oil application does not break the fast.
We've got another call online. So, brother, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamualaikum, Mulana.
Walaikum salam, Ji.
Mulana, this is when you go to the Darawi Salah.
Yes.
After 8 o'clock, you find many people walking out.
I have explained this masala already, that 8 rakat is Tarawiyatain, not Tarawi. And 20 rakat is Sunnat Mu'akkada. And this Sunnat Mu'akkada is from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are various kitabs written proving the Tarawi Salat is 20 rakat. Remember in the hadith when they talk of Salatul Layl, it should not be confused with Tarawi Salat. Tarawi Salat is different from Salatul Layl. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout his entire life should make 8 rakats of Tahajjud, 3 rakats of Witr, 11 rakats. So the pattern in Ramzan was 20 rakats Tarawi, 8 rakats Tahajjud, 3 rakats Witr. So those who do not perform the 20 rakats of Tarawi Salat, unfortunately, are misled and not informed and not educated.
Jazakumullah, does that clarify the issue for you?
Yes.
Jazakumullah. We have another sister who is called in. She says, is it permissible to use lip ice or lipstick while fasting? And can she go for an internal examination? I think there's 2 questions to this.
What is lip ice?
Yes, can she use lip ice, lipstick while fasting?
However, lip ice or lipstick, first of all, concerning lip ice, because there is some medical need for such a, for using a lip ice, then provided the lip ice does not dissolve and go down the throat, it is permissible to use it. As far as lipstick and use it in Ramzan, very strange. This is to use lipstick in Ramzan and walk around. That is very strange. I cannot understand this. Then, first of all, to use lipstick and go out in the marketplace, that is atrocious, that is bad. And this lipstick, whether it's permissible, then it should be used only for the pleasing of the husband, not outside.
Can she go for an internal examination when going for a medical checkup?
She may go for an internal examination. However, understand this. If the doctor, whilst doing this, puts some or inserts some gel or fluid or some ointment or medication, then her fast will break. If it's a dry internal examination, then it is permissible. And also remember that this internal examination should not become the order of the day. These internal examinations are due to necessity and need, and they are out of dire necessity, not become the order of the day.
JazakAllah, we got a brother in line, Muhammad Ilyas. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ji, Muhammad Ilyas, you are on air?
Ji. I just want to ask one quick, get a clarification on one masala. I don't know if it might be wrong in asking this question. Yeah.
Not a problem.
I just wanted to get a clarity on whether you see when you make love to with your wife.
Sorry, can you speak a bit louder?
When you make love to your wife.
Yes.
And then now somehow it's already you tend to get maybe it's too late for you to start a study or something like that. Now if you happen to miss out, can you? And after that, before Fajr Namaz, or after Fajr Namaz, you have a bath. Does your roza become valid, or is it you have to make a qaza roza after that?
If a person, prior to sehri time, if a person had relationship with his wife, and then he did not even make sehri, and unfortunately after that he slept away, and most unfortunately he did not even make his Fajr Salat, and then that person got up, he had a ghusl, then his fast is valid. Then his fast is valid.
Brother Muhammad Ilyas, are you still online?
Yes.
Does it answer your question?
Yes, Jazakallah.
Jazakumullah. Yes. Thanks for calling in. We have another question here, Muqtisab. What is the rule regarding a fasting person who suffers from stomach ulcer?
a fasting person who suffers from stomach ulcer. Every year I keep saying this, that the brothers generally have stones before fasting month. And as soon as the Ramzan moon is sighted, then the stones become rocks. And then the person, he generally has ulcers during all the year round. And as soon as Ramzan comes, the ulcers become peptic. And they become septic. Now all this happens only when the moon is sighted. However, if a person in reality, sincerely, and the doctors have diagnosed that he's got what we call peptic ulcers, and because of the peptic ulcers, again, a religious, pious, a righteous doctor told him that because of your ulcers, you should not fast, then this person, he will not fast. But inshallah, after Ramadan, then he should make qaza of it. And if he does not have that ability, then as a last resort, when they have told him that now he's got chronic peptic ulcers and he will die with that, and then he may be allowed to give fidya. But to just give fidya because he got one ulcer troubling him, that is not permissible and not allowed, or not in the spirit of Sharia of Islam.
Jazakumullah. I've got another question. Can you take a suppository when you are fasting?
If a person uses a suppository, then the fast is gone. The fast is invalidated, broke. So the person should use the suppository after iftar and not while he is fasting.
So that is, the suppository cannot be used while in the,
while
state,
in
of
the state of fasting.
The number to dial is 8546854. We still have about 10 minutes. I will be taking a number of your calls. I've got another question here which says, and this goes regarding ladies Taraweeh. What surah should she read from Alam Tara, and what is the rule skipping a surah in between? I think that's the one question. What surah should she read from? Should she read from Surah Alam Tara Kaifa, and what is the rule skipping a surah in between? That means not following it consecutively or going down with it in order, that means to skip one in between. And the second one regarding Nafil Ittikaf, in her sunset, can her son visit her while she is sitting for itikaf?
While she is sitting for itikaf, let us take that one first. That while the lady is sitting for itikaf, and concerning itikaf, Brother Ismail told me that next week, inshallah, we will explain in detail the itikaf for ladies, how they must do it, when they must do it, and the rules and the regulations concerning the itikaf for the ladies. In this case, that whilst the lady is in itikaf, then inshallah her son can visit, her brothers can visit, the other lady can visit, her husband can visit her. But obviously, when a husband visits her, then he must not take any benefit from her. And the other ladies or anybody visiting her should know that she is in itikaf and should not now start discussing the stock exchange, and should not start discussing about what happened in the locality. And it should not turn out to be a gossiping, backbiting session. It will spoil the spirit and the sawab of sitting for etika. The other question, the brother said?
Yeah, the other one is, what surah should she read?
Yes, the surah, the lady, she, whatever she knows from the Quran. Whatever she knows from the Quran, yes, for example, if she knows from one duha, she can read from there and come downwards. And Alam Tara, read from there and come downwards. And it is good if she follows in sequence. However, if she breaks the sequence, her salat will be valid but makruh.
So the salat will be valid and makruh. So if she skips that one surah in between, the salat continues.
A discussion, academic discussion concerning this, but the bottom line of that discussion is that the salat will be valid but not very good action she has done because she is skipping surahs.
Jazakumullah for that one. A brother should wants to know, if you have, I think what he, although the question is written, if you have made your intention for your fast and while you're sleeping, you've had a wet dream, do you have to play qaza or kafara?
If a person had a wet dream, then the fast is not broken, there is no qaza, there is no kafara.
There's no, so that
fast is intent. Wet dream must take place while the person is sleeping, yeah? Not in semi-conscious state.
Jazakumullah, there's another question we've had. A sister called in to say her dental fillings have fallen out. Can she go for a filling while fasting? I think Dr. Ismail Valley is here, perhaps he can help us with that one.
Yeah, what I would suggest is that she tries and keep place the filling with a a temporary pulling where there is no requirement for drilling or extensive work. And the dentist has to try and isolate a particular area so that she doesn't swallow anything. So it would be better just to replace that pulling with a temporary pulling which takes about a minute or so to place, and the chances of a rosa or the false breaking are very slim.
Yeah, again, I must insist and add that the dentist who you go to must be fearing Allah. The wise read the simple procedure, if some water went down, he should tell the patient.
So you should take extreme caution, and if there is that possibility, then the fast would definitely be nullified, is it correct?
Yes, and if the fast is nullified, then there will be qaza, not kafara.
And the thing is with the temporary pulling, there is no use of water or anything like that. It's just a little mixture placed in the tooth, and you allow it to set for a few minutes, and you take off the excess material, and everything is within normal limits. There is no use of water or anything.
If I may come in, sir, doctor, what you're saying is there's two different types of pulling. You're having a temporary and a permanent. So if it's a temporary pulling, there isn't a difficulty, but if it becomes a permanent one.
With permanent pulling, sometimes the dentist, even then, sometimes there's no need for water, but sometimes there's a need for altering the cavity preparation, and that requires water. So it would be advisable just to have a temporary pulling.
Jazakumullah, the number to dial is 8546854. We've got about another 7 minutes before we conclude today's program. I've got another question here. Ladies performing tarawih, I think you've explained this, but we can go over it again. Can they perform 4 rakat at a time?
Yes, I've explained, according to the fatwa, that they can perform 2 rakat, 4 rakat, 6 rakat, 8 rakat, meaning with one salam. And inshallah, they will be rewarded for performing of tarawih salam.
Jazakumullah, I think this one also has been covered at the opening, but we can do it once more. Are eye drops allowed, and what surahs are preferable for tahajjud salah?
Surahs prepared for tahajjud salah, whatever the person can recite correctly, properly, and he knows it well. That surahs must be recited so that the person enjoys performing the tahajjud salah. And the tahajjud salah must not become a burden upon the person who is performing the salah. The eye drops permissible, ear drops not, nose drops not.
Jazakumullah. And yes, what are the surahs and the eye drops? Jazakumullah for that. Mustafa, you were just explaining some of the things early on when you were trying to explain, and I think you did not continue, you know, the difference between tarawih. What is, can you just come in with something about tarawih again? You were trying to explain to us very early on in the program.
Yes, tarawih, what I was saying, that there are various sunnahs attached to it. One is that you should listen to the tarawih. That's one sunnah. As a whole, tarawih in itself is sunnah and waqidah. And for the men and the females. The men in the masjid, they must listen to the whole of Quran al-Kareem. That is also sunnah and waqidah, to listen to the whole of Quran al-Kareem. And to make 20 rakat, that's also sunnah and waqidah. So there are various sunnah attached to this. And tarawih salat also, after the 27th night, generally people are under the impression that only 27th night is the Laylatul Qadr. Whereas Laylatul Qadr can fall on the 21, 23, 25, 27, 29. Now, after the 27th night, then generally people retire and say, now tarawih is over. Now we can sit at home. That is wrong. That is absolutely wrong, because tarawih salat is sunnah de muakkidah for the entire month, not for part of the month. And unfortunately, some of us, some brothers, unfortunately, what they do, they come for the first 3 tarawis, then they come for the middle 3, then they come for 25, 26, 27, and then they finish the Ramzan tarawis also. That also should not be done. This is a time to reform and change and become pious and righteous Muslims, so the masjid must be full. Another aspect is tarawih salat, that the young boys who go to tarawih salat, most of the time the parents tell them, go for masjid, and they get them out of the house. So these young boys come to the masjid and they start playing in the masjid. And if you try to admonish them or hit them, then the father is ready rolling his sleeve and he says, my son can never make a noise. That is absolutely wrong. The youngsters, those who are very young and playing in the masjid, cannot be tolerated under any circumstances. And also sometimes what happens is that the youngsters go into the parking areas and begin to damage the cars and loaf around there. That also unfortunately is not conducive to the spirit of Islam. Then worse than all this is to hang around in corners during the time the tarawih is on, and to go around to places which are not conducive and not becoming for a Muslim to be in those places, especially in the month of Ramadan, let alone any other month. That also, and the young youth, the young boys and girls, via now, unfortunately, the cell phone, which has become like a disease, they make arrangements to meet outside. This is not conducive to Muslim pattern of life.
I think you've just isolated three as far as young children are concerned. Three categories here, the very, very young ones. It will be between the ages 4, 5, up to about 8, 9. And those are the ones that come in and cause a new disturbance in the masjid. And what you are saying is that if they are able to control themselves, they should come to the masjid. If not, it would be best for them to stay at home with their mothers. Is that correct?
Definitely. Until they learn the mannerism of the masjid, until they learn the ethics of the masjid, until they learn how to behave well in the masjid, and as I told you, that the poor imam, he's got his hands tied most of the time. He makes a noise and he makes a shout, that the mutawallis and etc. look at the imam with big eyes, who are you to tell our children? This is absolutely wrong. The mutawallis must respect the masjid, and they must allow the imams, and they themselves must control those children.
And then the second group we're talking about is that around about the age of about 9 to 12 that hang around in the courtyard of the masjid. They come in there and then they call, you know, make a lot of noise. And the other category you were speaking about is those who are about 13, 14 and upwards, who then go and find that the masjid thinks is not what they want you to do, and then hang out in areas like street, you know, the cafe corners and so forth. So I think you've identified three groups, and what you are saying that each one of these, as parents, we are responsible to make sure that our children are there for the Salah, the Tarawih Salah. And you've also now just alluded to something that they are easily, you know, able to get in contact with each other via the cell phone. So I think we can take that at some other time. But I think you have definitely, it's important that you've mentioned this, because I think lots of people out there are not aware of what's happening. And we've had lots of people calling to say that at certain masajids, the young children are making noise, others are going outside into the kafa, and then you have the other group. And I think you've identified three different age groups, which I think is so important. And I think the one that is, you know, if they're very young and they do not know the adab and do not know the etiquette of the masjid, then they should be trained, and until such time, we're told to stay at home. Thereafter, for the other group that is there and is sitting out in the courtyard, we should try and encourage them. And as for the bigger ones, we should definitely be on the alert of where they're going to. And if you have, you know, again, I think we've run this program on Monday, where we said if you have girls, you know, knowing where they're going to, because these days, like you said, all these opportunities do exist. We have one or two more questions before we come to conclude this program.
That the father or the mother, when the young man leaves the house, he must be sure he's going to the masjid and not going somewhere else. And the young girl, what she is doing outside after Maghrib and Isha is very strange. Why she is going outside, for what reason? And then when you give them the vehicle, the communication vehicle of SIM, the cell phone, then expect the worst.
So we've got another question here. Daughter fasting and will be going for fitting of dental braces. Will the fast be affected, Doctor?
Yeah, this is an interesting question. I think that one needs to be very, very sure that no water or any substances that the dentist uses or the orthodontist uses reaches the throat. This can be sometimes a bit difficult. My general advice is that if it's not a really real necessity to have it done during the month of Ramadan and it can be deferred, it would be advisable. However, if it has to be done and there's no other time when this particular patient can have it done, then all the necessary precautions need to be taken. And if it is upset that if the doctor feels that the child would have swallowed some water or anything, then inform the patient that the fast is broken. But my general opinion is that they should defer this treatment as it is not a dire necessity.
What Dr. Bolana has stated is absolutely right, because better to defer it, because the value or the significance of the fast must be understood by us.
So what you're saying is that if it's not of absolute necessity, we should defer it for after the month of Ramadan. Another question here for a sister who is a convert, or rather revert to Islam, for now about 3 months. She does not know a Du'a-i Qunut. Is there a substitute? And she does not know many surahs. Can she repeat surahs during Tarawih?
Yes. In Tarawih Salat, she can repeat her surah. As a Du'a-i Qunut, she will say, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. She must say that 3 times.
But if we may come in, so for 3 times, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, that is all she has to say, a substitute for Du'a-i Qunut. And that is Mufisa for how long? Until she learns?
She can also say Subhanallah 3 times, that is sufficient.
And there's a period for this, the length for how long can, until she is proficient in Shalat.
She learns, she must make a concerted effort, Allah Ta'ala make it easy for her.
Inshallah. And then does she does not know many surahs, can she repeat surahs during Tarawih?
Yes, she can repeat surahs.
JazakAllah, there's another question. A brother made a niyat for fasting well before Seri ends, then found he's forgotten to take his tablets. Can he go ahead and do so? Long before Seri ends, he's now made his niyat. So can he continue eating thereafter until the time? I think that's the question.
It's very simple that if he did that action, then he's eating in the permissible times. Once he's eating in the permissible times, then what we call his fast is not invalid, his fast is permissible. There are a lot of those who do not get up for Seri, I know. And while they, after Tarawih, etc., they come eat a little bit and go to rest, preparing themselves for Fajr, and intentionally missing the Seri. So when they sleep, they make intention for fasting. So if they get up, they can eat also.
So, JazakAllah, so what you're saying there, that as long as it's before the time of Subah Sadiq, if he does want to and can take his tablets, there's no difficulty with that.
Yes.
We have one final question before we come to today's, the conclusion of today's program. A sister, and I think you've explained, but did not go into detail. A sister wants to know if Mustaf can elaborate on the 2, 4, and 6 Tarawih Salat aspects of one Salam. Well, you said that she can even make 4 rakats, or 6 or 8, you went, and you said
yes,
to make one Salam. How would they then, you know, perform the Salah? I think what is important is to know, after 2 rakats, what do you do? After how do you stand rakats, up? Do you just read Tashahud and then continue, yes, or do you read it right up to the end with the Dua, and then I think that is the difficulty for the person who's called through.
After 2 rakats, instead of reading the Durood Ibrahim, which is read after the At-Tahiyyat, the person will read the At-Tahiyyat and Salah.
So
after 4 rakats, the person will read again the At-Tahiyyat and Salah. After 6 rakats, the person will read At-Tahiyyat and Salah. After 8 rakats, the person will read At-Tahiyyat, Durood Ibrahim, Dua, and terminate.
So if you're doing it, so the 2 and 4 is not a difficulty, because I think we normally do that, we're quite used to it. When you come to the 6th one, what you will do is, at the end of, if you're going to put it in your intention to make 6 rakats, you could terminate at the end of the 6th rakat. So the end of the 4th rakat, when you kept, you just read At-Tahiyyat and you continue with it. And if you're going to continue with 8, then at the end of the 6th rakat, you continue with reading At-Tahiyyat and continue until you come to the 8th one, and you complete it with reading Dawood Ibrahim and the Dua, and you conclude with that. Is that the correct
way? Yes, that is the correct procedure.
JazakAllah, and that is what you said for the ladies, they could do it in that particular manner. JazakAllah, Mustafa, for being with us. The time now is almost 25 to 1, and we've had lots and lots of callers, but this is not the end. Mustafa, next week when you come in, I'd like you to look at some of the aspects of Itikaf, and we will still take on questions pertaining to Ramadan. Thereafter, the following week, we'll do all aspects concerning Zakat, and the last week, we'll do all aspects pertaining to Hajj. I've had one question with Zakat. Do you want us to do it today? It's just one question. You can quickly do it. Sister wants to know, her father had bought shares during his lifetime, but now he's deceased. She's not sure if he's paid Zakat or not on the shares. So should Zakat be given or not?
If she is not sure he has passed away, then the matter rests there. Now when the shares are coming to her possession, she must pay Zakat on what she has received. And that is why concerning the 3rd and 4th week, we got our times finalized.
I get that, you mixed up. I just wanted to know whether you want him to go over a longer period. I'm just trying to, we may have to do it slightly longer. Go in at 11 and then take it on right up to about 2 o'clock. So we'll have to just get back to you about it.
Inshallah.
JazakAllah. Immediately after, at about 1:45, after the end of our para day today, this afternoon, we will have our medical program. In the studio with us, we'll have our team of medical experts, and they will be talking all aspects concerning Ramadan and medication. So that will be at about 1:45. So please don't forget that program. And you can phone in your questions, they'll be able to take it in, and we'll hope to answer your questions on that. Thereafter, at about 2:45, we'll have our pledge lines. And we hope that you definitely will phone in. We definitely need your support for the radio station to grow. It is now 25 to 1, sorry, and we're going for an ad break. JazakAllah, Muftisab, Kari Barakatullah, and Dr. Ismail Bedi for being with us in the studio.
Assalamu alaikum.